Awakened Media for a transforming world. Seventh Wave Network.
Welcome to Good Vibes, Bad Vibes Talk Radio Show with hosts Gay Hilton and George Juhas. This riveting show will help you find balance and energy while guiding you on your vibrational journey. Now here are your hosts, Drs. Gay Hilton and George Juhas.
And we welcome you today, our global audience, to Good Vibes, Bad Vibes, the show that peers into the quantum world of vibration. Each week we offer you guest speakers who are experts and researchers in the fields of complementary alternative medicine, diet, exercise, nutrition, quantum physics research, and mind-body therapies. Realize the food we eat, the water we drink, the thoughts we think, and the environment that surrounds us all contains a vibrational frequency. Aligning ourselves with the highest vibration generates good vibes and just what our show is all about. So may the force be with you today and every day. And if you would like to be a guest on our show or perhaps a sponsor and advertise on our worldwide audience, please go to either Dr. George's or my websites, which will give you some information, and you may contact us. I would like to introduce my co-host, Dr. George Juhas, today. Hi, George.
Hi, Gay.
And he is a naturopathic doctor and a clinical hypnotherapist. And our guest today is, again, Russ DiCarlo. And Russ is the author of Towards a New Worldview, Conversations at the Leading Edge, and The Definitive Guide to Longevity Medicine. Russ has spent over 20 years researching and teaching energy healing methods and spiritual truths. He has also created several successful hospital-based healing wellness programs and has consulted with Fortune 500 companies. And today, Russ is going to discuss the intention, the power of intention with respect to large groups. How are you doing today, Russ?
I am just great, Gay and George. It is a pleasure to be here.
Welcome, Russ.
Thank you.
Russ, what can you tell us about what they know about the power of group intentions? I know this is kind of where we left off last week, and we wanted to continue this week with more on what you know based on the research out there with the power of group thought.
Sure. Well, before we get into that, I'd just kind of like to do a quick recap of the fact that the energy field that is currently being discovered by some leading-edge scientists has been known for millennia, really, by certain people and traditions of which are Eastern and Western. This energy field really encompasses three or four different major aspects, the first of which is the fact that this field really explains the fact that each of us are connected, and we're connected by virtue of the fact that this field interpenetrates everything in existence. The second point is that this quantum field, zero-point field, whatever you want to call it, also provides a link between consciousness and things in the physical world, so that our thoughts, feelings, beliefs, and attitudes produce an effect in the physical world in regards to the people, events, and circumstances of our life. That's really the basic message of the popular movie and book, The Secret. The third point regarding this field is that it really is a mirror which reflects back to us what we're feeling on a subjective level. So all of these things together point to the fact that we have power to influence the things that happen in our physical life through the medium of this field. Now, what I'd like to talk to your audience about today is really the power of group intention. And if we really look at the current world situation right now, it's not really cause for being optimistic, but more so it would inspire a certain modicum of pessimism when it comes to the conflicts in Iraq and elsewhere in the world, when it comes to the level of poverty, when it comes to the level of health, or I should say disease in the world. We find that there are a lot of problems that we as humanity are facing at this juncture in time. And I think that what becomes important then is to understand that we do have the capacity and the power to influence the world in which we live. We could do that individually, but at the same time, we could do that collectively. And when we do it with groups of individuals, some of the leading-edge scientific research, which we'll get into today, seems to indicate that the larger the group of individuals, the more powerful an effect that we could have in the world in which we live.
We need to get more people on the banks of the Sacramento River to help those whales.
Ah, very well put.
Well, I'll tell you, what we really have found is that we could affect the world in which we live through the auspices of attention and intention. And on your previous shows, I had talked about how the mere fact that we pay attention to something seems to produce an effect in the world. Marilyn Schlitz of the Institute of Noetic Sciences, for example, has been researching attention-based phenomena for well over 25 years. And she's found that when we simply pay attention to somebody, we start to affect their physiology. So we affect heart rate, respiratory rate, EEG patterns. All of that will change when we focus our attention on an individual. Now, this is where it gets a little bit confounding. There's a project that's been going on for almost 10 years now called the Global Consciousness Project. And it really is an offshoot of ongoing research into mind-matter effects taking place at Princeton University. It was started by a PhD by the name of Roger Nelson. And what he noticed was when he started working with random event generators, and even though that sounds a little bit odd, a random event generator for anybody that plays a slot machine is a device that actually produces a random series of numbers that in fact determine, you know, what pops up on the slot machine that you actually might be playing on. So what he found was that when he was with groups of individuals who were engaged in, say, prayer or meditation, or maybe even focused in an athletic event, that these random number generators were starting to spew out data that was more coherent. It wasn't simply a random number series of events anymore. There seemed to be an ordered pattern. And so Roger Nelson took note of that, and he then decided to develop the Global Consciousness Project by having what today is over 60 what he calls eggs. And this is like the equivalent to a human brain's EEG pattern. And these eggs are interspersed throughout the entire world. And what he found was that early on in 1997, with the death of Princess Diana and with some other occurrences at that time, that these random number generators spread throughout the entire world started to generate coherent numbers that defied statistical odds. And so that brings us to the present time, where over 200 experiments have been done focusing on these large-scale global events, which share a common denominator of they attract a large amount of public attention. So over the years, they've looked at the data after events such as September 11th, 2001, the terrorist activity, more recently with the Virginia Tech crisis. And what they found consistently is that with these large-scale events, they seem to get a different result from these random number generators, giving rise to the speculation at this point that they're actually measuring some sort of byproduct of attention itself.
Russ, could you consider concern, the notion of concern, as being applicable here?
Well, to a certain degree. What they found was that these field effects, this group field effect, which is, I believe, is what they're measuring, seem to produce more of an effect when, for example, they were studying groups of people, when the people in the groups had close, warm feelings regarding their other members, when there was this feeling of togetherness, when there was a personal involvement with the other members in the group, and when they were experiencing a certain amount of creativity and fun within the group itself. So when you have a group of individuals who share those common characteristics, there seems to be a heightened effect.
So in other words, if we're really looking at this realistically, the power of interest, love, concern among people seems to have a stronger power when you're working together.
That seems to be true. Now, I think hold on to that because it's very important when we start to review some of the prayer studies that have been done over the years. And these prayer studies really date back to the 1950s with a series of experiments called the Redfield experiments, in which they determined that groups of individuals being prayed for, there seemed to be a heightened effect. But the real data came rolling in at San Francisco General Hospital in the 70s, in early 80s, when studies were done with cardiac patients.
Mm-hmm.
And these cardiac patients were prayed for. And as a result, they determined that the people who were being prayed for needed to spend less time on ventilators. They needed less drugs and medications. Their recovery time was quicker. Every measure that they studied seemed to be improved for the patients that were prayed for as opposed to the patients that received no prayer. It was a placebo-controlled study. Over the years, there have been similar experiments done with AIDS patients, for example, at California Pacific Medical Center, which produced a milder effect. And a more recent study, which occurred almost a year ago, that was headed up by Herbert Benson, in Boston, working at Harvard Medical Center. And the result, surprisingly, from that experiment in prayer was that prayer had no effect. Now, it's really important when you want to draw conclusions from these prayer studies that you really spend time to find out what the protocols were. And so, for example, in the study conducted by Herbert Benson, it was found that the individuals who were doing the praying didn't know any of the people who were being prayed for. I don't believe they were even given a name of an individual to pray for. So not only did they not know the name, which is kind of like vibrationally your way to ID or identify
right.
the person you're working with, there certainly was no sense of caring or empathy or connection with those individuals who they really didn't know. And I think that those are some of the factors that need to be taken into consideration when you're reviewing some of these prayer studies.
What did they think were the linking factors, though?
As far as the Benson study was concerned?
Yes.
Well,
they
didn't draw those conclusions. All they did was really report on the result, which they said was not statistically significant. And so, you know, everybody in the alternative medicine community was quick to interject their opinion about why it didn't produce an effect. So it's been spotty. So what I will say at this point in time is that our intention, both individually and as a group, absolutely works. I think the science is there to support that. However, when it comes to a real clear understanding of how it works or what conditions allow for it to work in the most optimal way, we just planted the flag on a new continent.
Oh, how well put.
Exciting.
And we will be back with Russ DiCarlo, our guest today, on the power of intention with groups. And thanks for joining us today on Good Vibes, Bad Vibes.
Listening on a higher dimension. Seventh Wave Network.
Are you aware that we are all vibrational beings? Where does our personal energy come from? How does energy manifest in our lives? What are the ways we can use different energies to change and improve the quality of our lives? Learn how you can answer these questions and more. Traditional naturopathic doctors Gay Hilton and George Juhas bring a dynamic, interactive presentation style to any engagement that is certain to educate, entertain, and inspire you. Call us today to schedule an intoxicating, riveting seminar, workshop, or lecture. To reach Dr. Gay, please call 814-333-6126 or by email at drhilton@acu-nu.com. Dr. Gay's website is www.acu-nu.com. To reach Dr. George, please call 724-413-6252 or email him at guhas@hotmail.com. Dr. George's website is www.uhaswellness.com. Call today and experience the individual energy being that is you. blending the practical and the mystical. The Emmy Louie Show, with host and one of the feng shui architecture's leading experts, Emmy Louie is an honest, fun, and entertaining look at exciting fields of feng shui, architecture, and even politics. Each week, Emmy and her expert guests, including the biggest names and trendsetters in these industries and cutting-edge experts in green and sustainable practices, offer advice on how to make the best of your home or office, your environment, and your mind, body, and spirit. Tune in to the Emmy Louie Show each Tuesday at 6 a.m. Pacific, 9 a.m. Eastern on the 7th Wave Network, and get that spark that'll change your life. The Emmy Louie Show. Understand your physical space and activate your energy.
Be extraordinary. 7th Wave Network.
Welcome back to Good Vibes, Bad Vibes with naturopathic practitioners, Drs. Hilton and Juhas. If you have a question for either Gay or George, please feel free to email them directly. Gay's email is drhilton@acu-nu.com, and you can reach George at guhas@hotmail.com. Now back to the show.
And we welcome you back to Good Vibes, Bad Vibes with our guest today, Russ DiCarlo. And we left off, Russ, talking about group intentions, and you wanted to talk a little bit about some of the studies they've done, and we were into some of the studies, and I'd like you to pick up where you left off.
Well, again, I think a good way of looking at the subject and understanding it is really to divide it into those physical world effects that are the result of paying attention versus those physical world effects that are the result of intention. Intention being that you have a specific end result in mind, a specific goal.
Right.
And, of course, there have been many studies that have been done with individuals, individual healers or Reiki practitioners, in regards to what would happen if a particular individual has a particular intention on both animate and inanimate objects. And Dan Benner, who's a medical doctor who I know, has literally cataloged over 150 controlled studies where human intention can affect enzyme activity, cell cultures, bacteria, plants, seeds, you name it, in a very profound, statistically significant way. By the same token, William Tiller, who's a PhD at Stanford University, has demonstrated the power of intention to affect the electrical bursts of activity in a tube filled with a rarefied gas. So much so, actually, that it goes from a burst of once every 5 minutes to 50,000 times within a five-minute period, as measured by Dr. Tiller. There's many other experiments that have been done, both at Princeton and other institutions, that really do make a very strong case for the fact that our intentions as individuals can affect effects in the physical material world.
Well, and I think a point that we can all think about is at some time in our life when we have thought about something, whether it be positive or negative, and we created it, and we wonder, gee, that was a coincidence. And in reality, based on a lot of what we have talked about today and other weeks, we can understand why some of these things are manifested, because it's pretty much well known that you've got to keep your thoughts positive if you want to create positive elements in your life.
Yeah, but I think the confounding factor is at what level of a multidimensional reality are these effects being observed and experienced? So, for example, let's say that you hold the intention to write a successful book, for example. And by virtue of you holding that intention and maybe doing some visualization of the end result, you set into motion a whole synchronicity of events that occur that allow that goal of writing the successful book to manifest. That's essentially been my experience, by the way, in life, where that happened to me. So I know from firsthand experience that it works. Now, that's distinct and different from holding an intention to increase, let's say, the pH of water, and producing a real-time physical result. I think that those two occurrences are happening at different levels of reality.
Well, and of course, we've mentioned numerous times, too, the believability of the person putting the intention out is very vital to the actual event occurring, because if you kind of have a little bit of faith in what you're believing is going to be created, but not completely convinced that it's going to occur, that will kind of stop or hold up the occurrence from actually manifesting.
The formula for success that I've expressed on your show before is ask, meaning visualize or hold the intention of what you want, believe, because if you don't believe that something is possible for you to manifest, you're going to dramatically reduce the likelihood that it will.
Possibly then, even alter it.
Right, exactly. And then thirdly, stay open to receive, meaning that once you express the intention, you could almost take the point of view that what you're seeking to manifest is on its way, albeit maybe on another dimension of reality, and all you need to do is maintain vibrational match with what you want. That's easier said than done,
right?
We talked about in previous shows.
Right, and that would be kind of what we consider the law of correspondence, meaning that you're sticking with the plan, but you're also seeing it through in your mind. You're not just stopping at, for example, I'm going to get a book written, but you're following through with I'm going to get a book written. I hope to get it published to a large audience. And I shouldn't say hope, because in your mind you have to see it as a completed project.
Somewhere in that mix, you're actually declaring, you're making
exactly.
a conscious declaration that you're going to achieve what it is you're asking for.
That's right.
And if it occurs any other way, then we have to look back at what we were thinking, what the statement we made were verbalizing, and then examine that and see if there was a flaw somewhere in our thinking, because a lot of the critics of the basis for The Secret have said, well, yeah, but you just can't think something and create it. And in truth, they're correct, because there's more than, as you said, Russ, more than just a few elements here that have to work in combination and in synchronization.
But, you know, I think that also there's another level to this principle that needs to allow for a person's state of consciousness, because for an individual who, let's say, is operating off of a fairly low level of awareness, meaning they're not really plugged into the spiritual true nature and spiritual realities, it's kind of like they would just be a pilot light on a gas furnace, meaning they're not really pumping out a lot of energy.
The energy you might even equate with creative intelligence.
Exactly. And so, yeah, absolutely. And so for an individual such as that, they would follow pretty much traditional recommendations in terms of goal setting. You know, decide upon a goal and then take concerted effort in the form of action, develop an action plan, break that down into sub-goals, develop a to-do list, and every day take action in the direction of the fulfillment of your goal. And it's very much action-based, taking action in the external world. On the other hand, if you have somebody who is of more of an elevated state of consciousness, they have more of an experience of their true self, their true spiritual nature and identity, then they wouldn't have to take all that much action at all. They might have to still formulate their intention, what they would want to manifest in their life, but then they would find that synchronicities, chance occurrences would actually intervene on their behalf so that the amount of action they would have to take would be minimal. Then you would have people who are the spiritual elite, spiritual masters such as Sai Baba, who could produce, and verifiable, a physical manifestation in real time.
Or what about someone like a Chris Angel? There would be a prime example. Those out in the listening audience that have seen any of the shows out of Las Vegas about this guy that can walk on water and do all kinds of things. And if you hear about this, you think, yeah, right. But they've actually got A&E walking around with a camera, watching everything he does. There's no tricks to it. And I know, based on what I've read about him, he's using the mind, essentially, to manifest a lot of what has occurred on the show.
Yeah.
It's essentially mind over matter, but, you know, as you said, it varies with degrees. Can you talk a little bit about one group intention that many of us remember that, if we can remember Woodstock in 1969, remember when the group intention of the, I don't remember how many thousands of people were there, when it started to rain?
You know, I don't remember that, although a few weeks ago I did watch a PBS special that was on that very subject, on the whole consciousness movement, the hippie movement, as it were, that began in San Francisco in the summer of, 67, I believe?
Right. That was kind of, and I think it actually got its roots even earlier, 65, Haight-Ashbury area.
Yes,
but
exactly.
The interesting thing was there was a huge rainstorm that started in the middle of one of the performances. And, George, you might pick up and remember this incident. And they put their group intention together, and the rain stopped. And the word traveled through the group, you know, we've got to stop this rain. And literally there were thousands putting the power of the intention of the thought of ceasing the rain, and the rain stopped. And
wow,
within
that's
minutes,
fascinating.
I think there was a jump there, and some of the folks that actually attended that event described it in terms of the picture consciousness, what they envisioned in the subconscious mind, making the jump to pure potential or a transformation of the environment at that time.
Right, where they were actually changing the climate. And, you know, you've heard that, Russ. Have you done any or read any research on climate changes based on the power of intention by a group?
Well, actually, Art Bell, who hosts the program Coast to Coast, has done many such experiments. So, for example, when we were facing some of the major hurricanes, he had his listener audience visualize the hurricane not striking any populated areas. He also talked about a time when there was a severe drought in one geographic area of the country. And he asked his listeners, again, millions of people listening to the show, to visualize rain in this particular geographic area, and within hours, it rained. So that's since come to be known as the Art Bell effect, you know, working with a group of people with similar intention. Now, in recent years, Art Bell has kind of shied away from actually doing any more of these experiments because he feels that there could be unintended consequences through tampering with nature in this regard. I think that there's certain protocols of expressing intention that prevent that from happening, mainly to allow your intention to be surrendered to God, intend that whatever happens, happens for the highest good, God's will be done. So you're surrendering it and thereby allowing spiritual intelligence to come in and manifest that intention in its highest possible way so that it wouldn't have any negative effects. At least that's my conjecture at this time.
Again, kind of following through the mind, that when you put out the thought, thoughts are things, and it's vitally important to make sure that those thoughts continue on that same beam, you know, kind of following through, not just with one element of what you want to manifest, but following through with the outcome and believing that outcome will occur. We'll be back in a few with our guest today, Russ DiCarlo, on Good Vibes, Bad Vibes. Thank you for listening.
The new home for visionary positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
Are you aware that we are all vibrational beings? Where does our personal energy come from? How does energy manifest in our lives? What are the ways we can use different energies to change and improve the quality of our lives? Learn how you can answer these questions and more. Traditional naturopathic doctors Gay Hilton and George Juhas bring a dynamic, interactive presentation style to any engagement that is certain to educate, entertain, and inspire you. Call us today to schedule an intoxicating, riveting seminar, workshop, or lecture. To reach Dr. Gay, please call 814-333-6126 or by email at drhilton@acu-nu.com. Dr. Gay's website is www.acu-nu.com. To reach Dr. George, please call 724-413-6252 or email him at guhas@hotmail.com. Dr. George's website is www.uhaswellness.com. Call today and experience the individual energy being that is you. blending the practical and the mystical, The Emmy Louie Show, with host and one of the feng shui architecture's leading experts, Emmy Louie is an honest, fun, and entertaining look at exciting fields of feng shui, architecture, and even politics. Each week, Emmy and her expert guests, including the biggest names and trendsetters in these industries and cutting-edge experts in green and sustainable practices, offer advice on how to make the best of your home or office, your environment, and your mind, body, and spirit. Tune in to The Emmy Louie Show each Tuesday at 6 a.m. Pacific, 9 a.m. Eastern on the 7th Wave Network, and get that spark that'll change your life. The Emmy Louie Show. Understand your physical space and activate your energy.
Create a life with growth, balance, abundant peace of mind, and joy. Tune in and call into Spirits Evolving with pragmatic psychic and certified hypnotherapist, Lee Channing. By using the simple tools for growth offered by Lee, including intuition, color awareness, creative visualization, and more, build a stronger understanding of your own energy and offer clear, unencumbered energy to those with whom you share your life. Whether for an individual or a business, home environment, or your office. Lee evaluates and interacts with the energy at hand, providing an analysis of the problem and a description of the options available to move forward successfully and with grace. Spirits Evolving with Lee Channing, broadcast each Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, on the 7th Wave Network, your online community for positive change. Spirits Evolving, your guide toward a life filled with more balance, intention, and contentment.
Taking you to the threshold of a dream and beyond. Seventh Wave Network.
Welcome back to Good Vibes, Bad Vibes with naturopathic practitioners, Drs. Hilton and Juhas. If you have a question for either Gay or George, please feel free to email them directly. Gay's email is drhilton@acu-nu.com, and you can reach George at guhas@hotmail.com. Now back to the show.
And we're back with our guest today, Russ DiCarlo, and we were talking about directed thinking, the power of intention. And Russ, you had a good point just as we were ready to go off the air, and I'd like you to bring it up and recap a little bit about what you were getting ready to say.
Sure. This is actually a key distinction that I first learned of through Larry Dossey. He's a medical doctor who wrote the book Healing Words in the 90s. Has played a very influential role in establishing the Alternative Medicine Center at the National Institutes of Health, and a person who's just, you know, a great guy. I've brought him to Erie before. I interviewed him for my first book, Towards a New World View, and he draws the distinction that there's actually two lines of working with intention, and the first is called directed intention, and that would be exactly what we were talking about before, where you hold in your mind the visualized end result or outcome of what you want. So it's directed because you willfully are choosing a particular end result. The other line of working with intention is called undirected. And when you express an undirected intention, you are simply opening up and coming into a state of surrender and essentially saying, God's will be done, thy will be done. And what some of the early research found was that individuals who don't have a specific outcome, who merely choose to be conduits for spiritual intelligence and energy to come through, seem to produce a more measurable, significant benefit for the individuals or the things that they're actually working with. It's a completely different way of looking at manifesting an intention, but it needs to be put on the radar screen.
It's almost like that intelligence is analyzing the world in terms of linear sequences of cause and effect.
It's doing that, and it's also putting into effect or producing an effect that is for the highest good of the individual or unit of consciousness being focused upon, that it's being directed to.
Undirected would be kind of like let go and let God, with some guidance coming from the individual to ask for guidance in a way.
Well, you know, actually, as I'm thinking about it now, there's kind of like an amalgam of the two. And the amalgam would be where you do have a specific outcome in mind that you visualize, but after you reach a certain level of psychic intensity, then you just let it go. You surrender it to God, you know, God's will be done. And that has benefit in my experience because you're allowing universal intelligence to come in and manifest what you want, you know, in its highest possible form, in its own divine perfect time, in its own divine perfect way. So it's kind of a combination.
In hypnotherapy, when we access the sub, or when our clients access the subconscious mind, this occurs.
Mm.
And
that's,
I think we can all.
That's kind another of implication.
Yeah, right. I think we can all identify with that to some degree. That, you know, we obviously don't have all the answers, and that's where we're letting go and letting God, as they say. And as that occurs, sometimes there's something that all of a sudden just the light bulb comes on and we go, got it. Or sometimes the experience will come into our realm without knowing exactly what the timing is or anything else. It'll just occur because that's the answer to whatever it is you're asking for guidance in.
And it seems to be that, in again, if you reflect on your personal experience, you might find this to be true also, that when we're in that surrender, detached state, where maybe we think about what we want and just let it go, we don't have a whole lot of thought that we attach or piggyback on to that, that's the time that things happen most quickly, when we're in that surrendered, letting it go kind of mode.
Exactly. And along with that, in exactly those terms, not allowing fear to kind of snake in.
Fear or doubt.
In hypnotherapy, I tell my clients, when we're using self-hypnosis, when I'm teaching them self-hypnosis, to not to be directive, to just let it happen.
Let it flow.
And it seems that in that instance, it's non-directed, but it seems that, Russ, what you were saying about it being measurable, the results are that much more apparent, and sometimes they're quicker.
You know, in biofeedback research, Elmer Green, who is a man that I respect highly and have interviewed, and, you know, he's come to become a friend of mine, he talked about passive volition and how it plays a role in allowing individuals to control within their bodies normally uncontrollable experiences, such as whether or not your pupils dilate, the rate at which your heart beats, the temperature in your hands. And what he found was that when individuals have an intention, begin to visualize the intended outcome, but not in a willfully strong, I'm going to make this happen or force this to happen kind of way, but when they hold the intention and kind of work in synchrony with the subconscious mind and the body's natural intelligence, that's when they really produce these biofeedback type effects.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the same thing happens at the level of the global consciousness and at the level of spiritual reality. When we have this dance with the universe where we have an intention, but then instead of trying to force it to happen or will it to happen in a strong-minded way, but if we're a little bit more relaxed with it, and then letting it go, I think that's when we get optimal results.
If a group of people get together to celebrate something, on whatever scale, this would manifest.
I think so, because when you're celebrating, you're in a very high vibrational moment.
That's right.
Yes.
And so what's interesting is that we're in the month of May now, and there's a global breakthrough celebration that's occurring this entire month. And what you find are large numbers of individuals getting together. For example, there's a project called Common Passion, and what they're doing is they're organizing almost 1 million people this month and producing coherent intentions for all these individuals to hold throughout the months for global peace. And what's new about this is that they're going to be correlating the results of these group intentions with local crime rates, local hospital admission rates. This is work that's really been pioneered by some of the TM researchers 20 years ago, where they found that when you get a group of transcendental meditators together, in the case that I'm thinking of, there were about 1,500 that were in Washington, D.C., and provably they found that the crime rates went down, the hospital admission rates went down, the overall health of the community improved when people were entering into TM. Now, here again, that was kind of undirected because they weren't focusing on reducing crime rates or reducing hospitalizations. They were just getting into that meditative state and all these benefits began to accrue. When the group stopped doing it, then everything returned to normal again. Crime rates went back up, hospitalizations went back up. So it seemed that there was a cause-effect relationship there. What's happening with this most recent project that I mentioned, Common Passion, is that this is happening with an even larger number of people globally. And I think it's really the ushering in of this global consciousness. It's happening right here, right now, during this particular period of time.
Russ, when you're discussing, for example, group meditation for healing, group prayer for healing, you've heard of cases where people have been prayed for, and then unfortunately what happens is the individual that's being prayed for gets better, and then they turn the other way. They get worse. And a lot of times what the result of that can be is the group intention or thought of the person being healed may have doubts. In other words, the group intention is to heal that person, but for some reason that person is just so in the negative over their illness. Is it a fact then that they would block if they get better and then get worse based on the prayer? Would that be the intention of the individual being much stronger if they have doubts on their ability to heal than the group intention of those praying for them?
Well, I think that could get a little bit complicated. I think numerous factors could be involved. Certainly, contrary to public opinion, the power, I think, ultimately rests with the healee, not the healer. You know, everybody talks about going to a powerful healer, but the most powerful healer, I don't think, is going to be able to produce a very marked effect if the individual has secondary gain issues, meaning they're benefiting in some manner with having an illness, or if maybe they are ill for other reasons they're not really consciously aware of.
That's where neuro-linguistic programming would be helpful, because sometimes, as we mentioned in several other shows, you can be ill, not necessarily causatively because of a pathogenic factor. It could also be an emotion that has been suppressed for 20, 30, 40 years.
Well, most of the doctors that I've interviewed and researched with have said that anywhere between 80 and 95% of all physical illness has an emotional component.
Absolutely.
To it.
So, yes. I believe that too.
I think you're right. But the other thing that I think could be involved sometimes, aside from the fact that, you know, in energy psychology we would say that a person has psychoenergetic reversal, meaning they have limiting or negative beliefs that prevent healing from occurring, is that you might actually have the soul working with the individual, preventing healing from happening, because maybe it's time for that person to go. And so I think that there are many different elements to what makes healing work, what makes it effective, some of which we have an understanding of other elements I don't think we know very much about at all.
And that's a very valid point, that, you know, that person may subconsciously be ready to transcend and pass, but, you know, and that may be the reason why their illness has come on. Now, that, of course, can be changed based on the consciousness of the individual or the change in what they decide they want for their life. But it's all valid when we take into consideration that we're kind of driving the car, and the car is our subconscious. And we'll be back in a few with our guest today, Russ DiCarlo, and the discussion has been The Power of Group Intention. Thanks for listening.
Your online community for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
Are you aware that we are all vibrational beings? Where does our personal energy come from? How does energy manifest in our lives? What are the ways we can use different energies to change and improve the quality of our lives? Learn how you can answer these questions and more. Traditional naturopathic doctors Gay Hilton and George Juhas bring a dynamic, interactive presentation style to any engagement that is certain to educate, entertain, and inspire you. Call us today to schedule an intoxicating, riveting seminar, workshop, or lecture. To reach Dr. Gay, please call 8- 214-333-6126 or by email at drhilton@acu-nu.com. Dr. Gay's website is www.acu-nu.com. To reach Dr. George, please call 724-413-6252 or email him at guhas@hotmail.com. Dr. George's website is www.uhaswellness.com. Call today and experience the individual energy being that is you.
Hey, Dad.
What?
I can't get the ketchup bottle open.
Here, let me try. Here you go.
Thanks.
You don't have to be a hero to be a hero. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To learn more, call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt U.S. Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Everyday Mystic explores the unseen world of mysticism as it influences our everyday assortment of problems and offers fresh ways to approach them. Join internationally known author, clairvoyant, telepath, and medical intuitive BJ Wall for Everyday Mystic, airing live on the 7th Wave Network every Wednesday afternoon at 2 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 5 p.m. Eastern, as we understand the mystical world of angels and guides, deceased spirits, and communicating with pets, and the whole world of powerful possibilities that it provides. Every other Wednesday, BJ and co-host Pam Haley offers callers information about physical and spiritual health and shows them how their physical illness connects to their soul's journey and purpose. BJ and Pam delve into different topics to bring their enthusiasm, humor, and insight to callers' questions as they take the listener on an exhilarating and powerful journey into the world of possibilities. That's Everyday Mystic, Wednesday afternoons at 2 p.m. Pacific Time on the 7th Wave Network.
Your online community for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
Welcome back to Good Vibes, Bad Vibes with naturopathic practitioners, Drs. Hilton and Juhas. If you have a question for either Gay or George, please feel free to email them directly. Gay's email is drhilton@acu-nu.com, and you can reach George at guhas@hotmail.com. Now back to the show.
And thank you for joining us again on Good Vibes, Bad Vibes with our guest today, Russ DiCarlo. And Russ, we're going to pick up again and talk a little bit more about the power of intention with respect to groups. And I'm going to let you pick it up.
Okay. What I'd like to do is actually bring your listeners up to speed with really the cutting edge of scientific research right now as far as the power of group intention goes. Recently, over the past 60-day period, there's been a few experiments conducted at the University of Arizona with Gary Schwartz, who's a PhD there in their biofield labs. And he's been working closely with Lynn McTaggart, who has written a best-selling book called The Field, and more recently, The Intention Experiment. And in the Intention Experiment, they had over 7,000 people go online, and in one day, focus their intention on causing a string bean, believe it or not, to produce an increased level of biophoton emissions. Because these biophoton emissions could be measured in the laboratory, which they were at the University of Arizona. So 7,000 participants, 30 countries. They also had another group of individuals in New York City, 400 to be exact, that were participating in this event as well. And what they found was that when the individuals went through a very strict protocol, very standard protocol that was giving each of the participants step-by-step instruction on what to do and when they did that, they found, after analyzing the results, that these string beans actually did produce an increased rate of biophoton emission, this glowing effect. And so I think that this particular result is, again, increasing our level of knowledge and awareness about the power of group intention, and it's also allowing us to gain greater understanding about, you know, some of the key questions when it comes to working with group intention, which are, in my opinion, does a group have to be physically present all together, or could they be interspersed throughout the world connecting via the internet? And what Gary Schwartz found during this most recent experiment was, it seems to be that a group of individuals who are physically present together seem to exert more of an effect, more statistically significant physical effect, than when you have other individuals who are not present physically at the same time. So being in one room at the same time, you could get a physical effect with a lower number of people. And what they're estimating, actually, is that you'd have to have at least 1,000 people, if maybe not 6,000 people, joining with intention to produce a physically measurable effect. So.
Did Stephen Hawking also, I know he's very well known for the book, The Power of The Power versus Force. I'm thinking of the book you wrote the foreword to. Stephen Hawking has done an awful lot of work in group answering questions where they would be asked a question that they would have no idea possibly of the answers, and you know, would they would do contact reflex analysis or muscle testing, and they could basically come to all the same conclusions, which was beyond the scope of possibilities, you know, that hundreds of people would have the same exact yes or no answer. And again, that's, you know, group touching kind of into the group consciousness.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's different ways that we could work with groups. We could work with groups not only to express common intention or common vision, but we could also work with groups to increase our level of awareness and knowledge. So you could have groups of individuals. This kind of touches upon the work of Rupert Sheldrake, who's a PhD biologist who developed the idea of morphogenic fields, where if you have different species of animals, for example, that are learning how to do something new, that as certain individuals within the species learn how to do this new technique, that increases the knowledge and the probability that other members of the species that follow will learn the very same thing much more quickly. There's this group resonance field effect. So not only are we learning as individuals, but if Sheldrake's theory is true, and it's been tested to a certain degree and with some compelling effects, if that's true, then what we're learning individually is lifting up the body of awareness and knowledge within the mass consciousness available to everyone.
You know, what's interesting about what you're saying, Russ, here is in regard to the Mayan calendar.
Yes.
And they talk about the long count and the short count, and to me and probably all of us here, it's pretty mathematically daunting. But as I understand it, the Mayan calendar is divided into the seven ages of man. And we are, I guess, close to the fifth age in which humanity will realize its spiritual destiny. The sixth, supposedly we realize God within ourselves, and this is the fascinating one to me. The seventh, we become so spiritual, we are telepathic. Now that has some very strong implications in terms of what you've just been discussing.
Well, and I'm glad you mentioned that, because Carl Kalleman, Kalleman, .com, if your listeners will go there, they'll find one of the foremost scholars of the Mayan calendar and some of his insights. He makes a distinction, because you hear a lot of talk about 2012 nowadays, much of which is regarding the possible cataclysm that might happen, some sort of, you know,
catastrophic event.
Yeah, and what he's saying, Kalleman, and I totally agree with him, is that the changes that are taking place and what the Mayans were most interested in mapping out, and again, their calendar covers a huge span from the Big Bang until October of, it's actually 2011, not 2012, when the calendar ends, is really the fluctuations, the ebb and the flow of human consciousness. And what Kalleman says is that we are in a pivotal point in time right now where we're opening up as a species to universal awareness, universal intelligence, spirit, if you will, and that this will actually culminate October 28, 2011, when you have a shift or a quantum leap in consciousness occurring around the globe. So I would share his perspective and some of his conclusions, and I think that if you would just kind of look out, not at the catastrophes or the things that are happening, affecting humanity adversely at this time, but if you look at some of the new groups and new organizations sprouting up, focused on world peace and focused on creating a new earth, even though that sounds like utopian thinking, when you juxtapose that to some of the studies that have been done with consciousness, with a look at the Mayan calendar, when you start putting all the pieces of the puzzle together, I think that it's right to conclude that we're in a most special point in time right now as a species.
Well, and I think if we look at all the facets of history and how the ancients were so keyed into intuition and spirituality, we all need to look at those insightful beings centuries ago and see how much we're transcending and kind of going back to that realm. In other words, not necessarily leaving science and technology, but going back to a more spiritual base. I thank you, Russ, today for being our guest on Good Vibes, Bad Vibes. And next week we will be discussing some quantum technology, which you will all be interested in. So make sure you connect with us, and we'll see y'all next week. George, we'll see you or hear from you next week. And again, Russ, thanks so much.
Thanks,
Russ. Do you want to give us a real quickie on your seminar coming up in June?
Sure. June 2nd at St. Vincent Hospital here in Erie. We're putting on a program called Creating a Life of Abundance, Joy, Good Health, and Fulfillment. We're going to talk about the secret. We're going to talk about the power of intention and really give people the tools that they need to create their best possible life.
Great. Okay. Thanks again, Russ. And we thank you for listening. Bye-bye now.
We hope that you enjoyed today's show, Good Vibes, Bad Vibes. Be sure to tune in every Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern, on the 7th Wave Network, and discover how you can be empowered in our vibrational world.